The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 5, text number 16, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on June 1st, 2012, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jnanena tu tad agyanam.
Jnanena tu tad agyanam.
Yesham nashitam atmanah. Tesham aditya vajganam.
Tesham aditya vajganam.
Prakashayati tatparam. Jnanena tu tadagyanam. Yesham nashitam atmanah. Tesham aditya vajjnanam.
Tesham aditya
vajjnanam. Prakashayati tatparam.
Prakashayati tatparam.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Purport. Those who have forgotten Krishna must certainly be bewildered. But those who are in Krishna consciousness are not bewildered at all. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvang Gana Plavena Ganagni Sarvakarmani and Nahi Ganena Sadrisham. Knowledge is always highly esteemed. And what is that knowledge? Perfect knowledge is achieved when one surrenders unto Krishna. As is said in the 7th chapter, 19th verse, Bohunam Janmanamante Gyanavan Mang Prapadyate. After passing through many, many births, when one perfect in knowledge surrenders unto Krishna, or when one attains Krishna consciousness, then everything is revealed to him, as everything is revealed by the sun in the daytime. The living entity is bewildered in so many ways. For instance, when he unceremoniously thinks himself God, he actually falls into the last snare of nescience. If a living entity is God, then how can he become bewildered by nescience? Does God become bewildered by nescience? If so, then nescience, or Satan, is greater than God. Real knowledge can be obtained from a person who is perfect in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one has to seek out such a bona fide spiritual master, and under him learn what Krishna consciousness is. For Krishna consciousness will certainly drive away all nescience as the sun drives away all darkness. Even though a person may be in full knowledge that he is not his body but is transcendental of the body, he still may not be able to discriminate between the soul and the super soul. However, he can know everything well if he cares to take shelter of the perfect, bona fide, Krishna-conscious spiritual master. One can know God and one's relationship with God only when one actually meets a representative of God. A representative of God never claims that he is God, although he has paid all the respect ordinarily paid to God because he has knowledge of God. One has to learn the distinction between God and the living entity. Lord Sri Krishna therefore stated in the second chapter, 2:12, that every living being is individual and that the Lord also is individual. They were all individuals in the past, they are individuals at present, and they will continue to be individuals in the future, even after liberation. At night, we see everything as one in the darkness. But in day, when the sun is up, we see everything in its real identity. Identity with individuality in spiritual life is real knowledge.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So, knowledge is a very important thing. Without knowledge, you remain in ignorance. The fools and rascals say that ignorance is bliss. But that's a lie. Ignorance is hell. If you want actual happiness, you must become enlightened with transcendental knowledge. You may imagine that you're happy in the material world, but Prabhupada calls it fool's paradise. Maya Sukaya. Back in the old days of the American gold rush, they discovered gold in California, so many people headed west to cash in on the gold rush. And there was something called fool's gold, which is actually iron pyrite. It wasn't gold at all. A substance called iron pyrite. But it looked gold, you see. So many prospectors who were looking for gold, they were fooled by this fool's gold and cheated, you see. So material happiness is nothing but fool's gold. It's iron pyrite. It's not genuine happiness. It's not ananda. Ananda, that is what the soul actually needs. If the soul does not experience ananda, the soul cannot be satisfied. The soul's nature is to be full of bliss. If you are not full of bliss, there is something amiss with your consciousness. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita is very important. It is the most important book in the entire universe. And that person who teaches Bhagavad Gita as it is the most important teacher in the entire universe. Anyone who is teaching them, they are the most important teachers. Because this is the only thing that can bring peace, happiness, and prosperity to the human society. Their material plans are going nowhere. Their material plans are simply leading to deeper, darker chaos. That's all. They're going further and further into misery with their so-called material advancement. People are more miserable than ever before. That's a thing. When I was a kid, nobody took a gun and went to their office and started shooting everybody, or went to the school and started shooting everybody. Now these mass shootings are common thing, you see. Very common thing, mass shootings. People go crazy, they take a gun and they just go to their school or their place of work, they shoot their supervisor, they shoot the co-workers, and they shoot themselves. Sounds like a happy society, doesn't it? But that's what's going on in the world right now. This kind of mentality, people are so miserable because they've been lied to by the leaders that they can be happy by making money and gratifying their senses. They've been lied to and cheated by the religious leaders, the political leaders, the educational leaders, simply rascaldom going on in the world right now. Therefore, we need actual leadership on this planet. Yad yad acharati shrestas tattareve tarojana siyad pramanam kurute lokastadanivartita. That's what we need. We need ideal acharyas, those persons who are solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness, who have no business except to think about Krishna, remember Krishna, talk about Krishna, hear about Krishna, bow down to Krishna, serve Krishna, and broadcast the glories of Krishna all over the world. This is the caliber of people we need now to lead this planet out of chaos, you see. If we can have such qualified persons, where are we going to get them? We're going to import them from India? What are we going to do? In America, they do that now. The temples, they bring the pujaris from India, R1 visas. That's not how you get acharyas with R1 visas. If we're going to have acharyas in this movement, we have to become the acharyas. Prabhupada ordered that. You know that in Mayapur? He said, now we are 10,000. Then we will grow to 100,000. Then we will grow to 1 million. Then we will grow to 10 million. There will be no scarcity of acharyas. What is Prabhupada's vision for this society? Every ISKCON devotee should become an acharya, an empowered Vaishnava who can save so many people from birth and death by their example and by their preaching. Well, I'm a house sitter. Don't say something like that. I'm a house sitter. I have to earn my living. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also a house sitter earning his living. Don't give me any excuse. You are meant to become acharya. You are meant to be an ideal Vaishnava, empowered preacher of Krishna consciousness. Doesn't matter if you're a brahmacharya, a grahastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, the same thing for everybody. When Prabhupada said, now we are 10,000, that included sannyasis, householders, and brahmacharis. That was everybody. He wasn't just talking about the sannyasis. He said, now we are 10,000. That included everyone. So we're all meant to become ideal Vaishnavas, ideal examples of Krishna consciousness, so that anybody who comes in contact with us will be inspired. Krishna consciousness is not a bunch of rules and regulations. Although we do follow rules and regulations strictly, we don't neglect them. But that's not the essence of Krishna consciousness. The essence of Krishna consciousness is to develop your love for Krishna. So how do you develop your love for Krishna? He's present in many ways, in the form of the deity, in the form of his name, in the form of the spiritual master who represents him, in the form of the advanced devotees who represent him, you see, in the form of the scriptures, in the form of the holy Dham. Krishna has appeared in so many ways to give us the opportunity to associate with him and develop our love for him. So that's how you can measure your advancement in Krishna consciousness. How much am I actually developing love for Krishna? And how you can determine that? By how much you're becoming detached from material sense gratification. Viraktir, you see. Detached from material sense gratification. That's how you can measure your advancement in Krishna consciousness. How much am I disinterested in sex life? How much am I disinterested in pleasing my tongue? You see, that's how you can measure advancement in Krishna consciousness. One who is fixed in Krishna consciousness, he's not carried away by sex desire. The very nice prayer by Jamunacharya Albandra of South India, given in Bhagavad Gita. Yadabhati mama cheta Krishna padar vinde nava nava rasada manun yattarantuma sit tadabhati bhattanari sangame smaryamani bhavati mukushushtu nishtivanam cha. Jamunacharya, before he became an acharya, you know what he was a king. In those days, king meant king. It meant harem. It meant all kinds of facility for sense pleasure. But he completely gave it up. He became a pure devotee. He became an acharya. And he said, ever since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, deriving what? Nava Nava Rasa, ever increasing pleasure in that Radha Krishna Seva. If the thought of sex pleasure enters my brain, my lips curl with distaste and I spit at the thought. Was that artificial? No, he really felt that way. So, household life of producing saintly children, that is glorious, that is Krishna. But sex life beyond procreation, spit on it. That's our philosophy. Sex life beyond procreation, spit on it, because it's not anything compared to serving Radha and Krishna. The bliss of serving Radha and Krishna is so sweet, is so sublime, that no pleasure of this world, even sex pleasure, multiplied a million billion times, still it cannot compare to the sweet nectar from one pure utterance of Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. People think, well, aren't you Hare Krishna's frustrated? I mean, you're practicing celibacy. Your brahmacharis and sannyasis are celibate. Your house orders are also celibate after they have their children. How you can be happy if you're without sex pleasure? They think, I would die without sex pleasure, you see. That's what they think. But the fact is, we're enjoying life like anything, you see. Sex pleasure binds us to this material body. It binds us to male-female identification, which is the source of all suffering. Therefore, we're very happy to get free from this sex pleasure. And simply be fixed in, I am the eternal spirit soul, servant of Krishna, you see. Our sex pleasure is Radha and Krishna. We enjoy their pastimes, boy-girl pastimes. That's our sex pleasure. We relish the boy-girl pastimes of Radha and Krishna. You see? We are becoming detached from this boy-girl thing, you see. Either immediately as brahmacharis and sannyasis or gradually as householders. We're becoming free from this boy-girl syndrome that has kept us entangled in the cycle of birth and death for millions of lifetimes. Just imagine when you were a male ostrich, how you got excited by seeing a female ostrich. You see, those scaly legs and the funny tail. You see? We were so enlivened when we were male ostriches, seeing the female ostrich. Or, you know, the monkeys in Vrindavan, you've seen them. They have the red rear ends. Just imagine getting excited by seeing a monkey. You see? So our present attraction we have, you know, Romeo, Juliet, it's the same thing. It's just like the male and the female ostrich, you know? Or just imagine a male rhinoceros looking at a female rhinoceros. His heart's going, ka-thump, 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 you know? Oh, I'm in love with that female rhinoceros, you see? So, you know, we have to become detached from this stuff. It's not us. It's just the hormones in your body is all. It's not really you. It's just your hormones. I read one article about a man. He had a type of cancer. I think it was, prostate cancer. So they gave him some to cure the cancer. They wiped out all of his male hormones. They gave him some treatment. They completely killed all his male hormones. He became like a little baby again. He would see a woman, and it wasn't anything anymore. Just like a little baby sees a man or a woman, it's no big deal for a little baby. He became like a little baby again, just by killing out. Now, don't the brahmacharis do this? I mean, don't take some heavy drugs to kill out. It's unhealthy to do that. But the point is that it's just hormones. Our female hormones or our male hormones, that's all it is. It's not you. It's just some chemicals running through your body is all it is. It's not you. Just to say, well, it's just those chemicals, that's all it is. It's just some chemicals, it's not me. So in this way, a devotee can immediately detach himself from sex pleasure. All those chemicals are acting up again. They're acting a little funny today. Okay, chemicals, just shut up. I want to be Krishna conscious, you see. In this way, a devotee can conquer over lust, you see. It's just those chemicals, those stupid chemicals running around my body right now. Okay, chemicals, cool it. I have more important work to do, you see. I have more important work to do. Now I have to please my spiritual master. I have to become empowered to spread this movement. Is it? Actually, Prabhupada gave me some advice about this. I asked him about becoming, you know, a powerful preacher one time. Because I joined a movement under the tutelage of a very, very empowered preacher, Vishnu Janaswami. So that was very inspiring to me to see, you know, to be raised up in Krishna consciousness by a powerful, dynamic, effulgent, sannyasi. It was really amazing being trained by Vishnu Janaswami. Actually, Prabhupada told me, he said, "You have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami." So seeing him, I was inspired to become like him, you know, a powerful propagator of Krishna consciousness, a powerful spiritual leader. So I one time asked Prabhupada about how one can do that, how to become qualified to become a powerful spiritual leader. And he wrote me a nice letter. He said, "No jnana, no karma, no yoga, all material desires, zero. Then you can think big preacher." So you want to be able to do something for your Guru Maharaj? You want to do something to be recognized by Prabhupada, be recognized by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati, to be recognized by Rupa Goswami, be recognized by Lord Chaitanya, be recognized by Lord Nityananda, be recognized by Krishna, be recognized by Radharani, you see? Then say goodbye to Maya. You've been my girlfriend long enough, and that's it. We're breaking up now. That's it. Now I have only one business, and that is to please my guru and to please Krishna from here on. You can remain householder. I'm not saying that everyone should take sannyas tonight. Remain householder, but be in the mood of sannyasi as your householder. Man, husband sannyasi, women be sannyasi partners. You see, in your married life. And you can have children also. If you haven't had them yet, that's all right too. That is also sannyas. To have children for Krishna, that is also sannyas. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, "I am prepared to have sex life 100 times if I can produce Krishna conscious children." So go ahead, follow the regulated principles. Prabhupada said for householders, they should take permission, first of all, from the Guru Maharaj. Before trying to have a child, they get permission from their spiritual master. and they chant 50 rounds of japa just after the ladies' menstrual cycle, once in a month. They can have sex once in a month after chanting 50 rounds each of japa. I remember, it's an interesting story. I was a brahmachari in our Miami temple many years ago. And there was one householder, young, nice, Christian-conscious householder, an American couple. They wanted to have a kid. So they were, you know, they waited till the right time of the month, you know, after the ladies' menstrual cycle. And they both chanted 50 rounds that night. And the next morning, I was standing in the yard of the temple, and they came up and they told me, I don't know why they told me, but I was pretty happy to hear this. They said, you know, last night we chanted 50 rounds. We wanted to have sex. We're trying to have a child. But we were getting so much bliss after chanting 50 rounds. We said, let's wait till next month to have sex. In other words, they found the mantra was more blissful than sex. Now, that's good chanting, you know. When you can experience that Hare Krishna is better than sex, you're chanting some good rounds, Prabhu. Mataji, you're chanting some good rounds. You know, they were chanting some really good rounds because they wanted to have a Krishna conscious child. And so the fact is that the holy name is so delicious, it's so wonderful, it's so nectarian that you can give up these activities, you know, of having sex just for pleasure. You don't need it anymore. It's not a frustration, oh, I can't have sex anymore. You see? No. All these things we can give up. You see, we don't need homosexuality, we don't need masturbation, we don't need recreational sex, we don't need all of this stuff. All you need is Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That will completely satisfy you. Totally, completely satisfy you. So is this a question or a note? What is it? Question? Okay. So what I usually do, we have questions, people write questions down, so if anyone, we'll go ahead and take some questions now. Oh, I'm being told not to speak about these things because there are young children in the audience. I'll actually... This is how they learn. This is how they learn everything. If we can't speak these things, if no one ever hears these things, how will they ever learn? Please kindly guide on the following points. How can we become a good preacher, desiring to serve and help others? The way to become a good preacher is to develop a mood of compassion. To see how much people are suffering in this material world and to sincerely want to help them, that's all. If our mood is sincere, we're simply wanting to help people. We're not trying to advertise ourselves. We're not trying to puff ourselves up in any way that I'm a great preacher, I'm a great this or that. If our genuine mood is we want to help people to come free from their suffering, and that's the effective way to do it. We have to genuinely want to help people. If that's one's motive, you see, and you genuinely want to help people, then people will appreciate them. That here's a person who really wants to help me to become happy. He really wants to help me become free from the material nature. And he's taking all time and trouble to help me become free from the material nature. Actually, then one will feel gratitude for such a person instead of finding fault with them. How can we overcome pride which comes across our spiritual life? We have to think that actually I have no qualification whatsoever to be Krishna conscious. As Rupa Goswami has very nicely prayed, he said, na prema shravanadi bhaktir apiva yoga tava vaishnavo jnanam vashubha karma va kiyataho sat chattir abhyasti va hinarata dikasta dekhetvai tatap yashche jamulasati he gopi janavalava vyatayate ha ha madashayavamam. He said, I have no love for Krishna. nor do I have any attachment to hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. Actually, I'm not even born of a very nice family. On the whole, and he also says, I have no mystic power of a Vaishnava, I have no knowledge, I have no pious activities. On the whole, if you examine me, you will find that I'm completely bereft of any qualification for devotional service. But my dear Gopi Janabalava, my dear beloved Lord Gopi Janabalava, because you are well known as being very, very kind to the fallen souls, I have this unbreakable hope that is constantly in my heart that somehow or other I may be able to attain your divine lotus feet. But this hope is giving me pain because I feel myself most incompetent to approach that transcendental goal of life. So we should understand this mood of Rupa Goswami and not think that we are qualified for devotional service. We should understand it's only by the mercy of Krishna, only by the mercy of Guru, only by the mercy of the Vaishnava that somehow or other I'm here. If you think, yeah, I'm really qualified to be a devotee, then when you preach it, it won't come across well. People see, oh, this is an arrogant person. He's fanatical, he's arrogant, you see. But if you feel yourself completely unqualified, totally unqualified, you see, just like I don't feel I'm qualified to sit here and speak to you all. I have no qualification. But simply I am serving my spiritual master's order, that's all. He told me that I must spread this message, that what I've heard from him, I must spread it. And that's all I'm doing. All I'm doing is taking what I've heard from Prabhupada and I'm repeating it. If somebody is offended by that, I'm sorry. But this is what Prabhupada told me to do. He told me to take these teachings and distribute them all over the world. And that's all I'm doing. If you're offended by me, I'm very sorry. But I'm simply serving my spiritual master's order. Please clarify why there is a decline in our society and in the spirituality in general. And what can be the solution to this problem? Deterioration is a natural factor of this material existence. Just like you buy a car, and after some time it becomes an old car. So if we're not constantly reconnecting with Prabhupada by studying his books and distributing his books, this movement will decline. It will. We'll lose the original purity that Prabhupada established. So the solution is we have to constantly reconnect with Prabhupada, you see, all by taking what Prabhupada has taught and repeating it. Even if sometimes people misunderstand, still we have to do them. We have to take the teachings that Prabhupada has given us and we have to repeat them. Just like somebody was disturbed. I was repeating what Prabhupada taught us. Somebody was disturbed. The children shouldn't hear this. But Prabhupada never told the children they had to leave the class. And he preached all these things in the classes. You can hear the tapes. How Prabhupada preached so many things. He never said the children should leave the class. You see? This Bhagavad philosophy teaches everything. It teaches about every aspect of life. And it's meant to be heard from the very beginning. Even within the womb. See, Prahlad became enlightened from within the womb. So if we're... the way to prevent the decline is to always be reconnecting exactly what Prabhupada taught. Not what I think or what you think or what somebody else thinks. What does Prabhupada say in his books? That we have to practice. That we have to understand. That we have to preach. That we have to live. We have to make this movement a living embodiment of what is in Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, it's become another nonsense church or temple, like all the other nonsense churches and temples, where people go to fulfill their material desires, you see. Just like that song, you know. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. You see, if we don't stick to Prabhupada's books, we'll become a society like them. Yes, I go to ISKCON and I pray for material things and I get them, so ISKCON is a good place. I mean, this is a place for pure bhakti. Where they're teaching, what guru is teaching pure bhakti? What guru is teaching the actual method of becoming a pure devotee in this lifetime, besides Prabhupada and those who are preaching Prabhupada's message? You see, who's doing that? Who's giving the proper message? Only Prabhupada and those who are preaching Prabhupada's message are doing them. So we have to keep it pure. We have to take what Prabhupada has given us and we have to repeat it. Even if devotees are disturbed by it, they have to understand. They have to wake up and become more mature. And Hiranyakashipu left Adutapashya, which they say lasted for thousands of years until Lord Brahma came. How did his wife Kiyadu survive that long? I don't know. It's an interesting question. And that too, carrying Prahlad in her womb. That's a really interesting question. I don't know if the Bhagavatam mention these details? I've never read this in the Bhagavatam. It's a really fascinating question. I'd like to know. Who were the five Pandavas and why did they descend in that order? I just know the five Pandavas is the five Pandavas. That's pretty potent. Being one of the five Pandavas, you don't need to be somebody else. Being one of the five Pandavas is pretty potent. How do they leave their bodies? Actually, it's stated in the Bhagavatam, they went back in their self-same bodies. Their material bodies became spiritualized and they went back in their self-same bodies. That's described in the Bhagavatam. In Krishna consciousness, we are instructed to be modest. In the working world, we have to be authoritative often, but to be obeyed, and very often being too humble, the prescribed duty is not being carried out. Please elaborate. How do we cope with it? If one is too humble, people will step on you and take advantage of you. That's a thing. We're humble before our spiritual master, we're humble before the devotees, but as it is said, a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. Actually, one of my god sisters, she was a very, very expert book distributor, Mula Prakriti. She's now departed. She's a very wonderful god sister of mine, Mula Prakriti Devi Dasi. You may have heard of her. But she was a very expert book distributor. She'd go to the airports and she was very aggressive. In the airport, she approached the businessman and convinced him to take a book and give money. She was very aggressive. So he was thinking, well, I don't know if this is proper for a woman to be so aggressive. You know, a woman is supposed to be very chaste and modest and all that. Here I am being super aggressive with these businessmen in the airport. And so she had a darshan with Prabhupada in Hawaii, and she asked Prabhupada about this. Prabhupada said, I was not invited. Of course, Prabhupada was invited to Mauritius, but he was not invited to America. He said, I came to America as an aggressor. So he told her, you should be an aggressor. So the same thing, even in your ordinary dealings at work, a devotee should be very aggressive. You see, a devotee should be the leader in every field. We want devotees of leaders in every field. Of course, spiritually you want to be leaders. In teaching transcendental knowledge, we want devotees to be in every leadership position in the world. Just imagine if every company is run by a Vaishnava. Just like I have a disciple in Riga, Latvia. He's the owner of the three top radio stations in the whole country. He's a devotee. And it's wonderful. We want devotees in leading. He's very aggressive in business. He has to be the number one, have the top three radio stations in the country. He has to be very, very aggressive in business. But he's very Krishna conscious. He's so sweet. Gurudas. He's a very wonderful devotee. And he's going to hear this because he edits these tapes. I hope he, now don't get puffed up, Gurudas. If we hear this recording, see. But the point is that whatever field you're in, you should become the leader. Devotees should be the leader in every field. If you're a businessman, you should be the leading businessman. If you're a teacher, you should be the best teacher. You see? Whatever you're doing, devotees should become the best. Because Krishna is the best, Krishna's devotees should also be the best in whatever field, you see. If you're a husband, be the best husband. If you're a wife, become the best wife. If you're a son or a daughter, be the best son or daughter, you see. So your parents are proud of you. Whatever you do, everything should be first class. What is the confirmation of this point? Look in the list in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. That quality is there. Expert. A devotee is expert in everything he does, you see. Whether it's taking care of his car, taking care of his health, taking care of his family, taking care of his job, whatever he does, his spiritual life, everything, in every sphere of activity, he's expert. That is a devotee, an advanced devotee. So we should all become expert in everything we do. And there's a nice example given about someone who became a devotee and people were taking advantage of him. You may have heard the story. There was one snake, a cobra, and this cobra, he was harassing all the villagers, you know. He would raise his hoods, and they were scared to death of this cobra. But then he became a devotee of Narad Muni, a disciple of Narad Muni. So now all the children are saying, oh, he's a Vaishnava now, he's a gentle Vaishnava. So they would throw rocks at him and they would torture this poor cobra because he became a devotee, you see. So he went to Guru Maharaj, he said, Narada Muni, Guru, dear Dev, what to do? Now I become a gentle Vaishnava, they're harassing me like anything. He said, show your hoods, but don't bite. So devotee can show strength, you see. I've seen practically how showing strength is very effective. Sometimes humility is not the proper preaching technique. Sometimes showing strength is the preaching technique. I was one time distributing Simply Wonderfuls on the street in Gainesville, Florida, by the university there. I went out with a whole bowlful of Simplies. I was handing them out to everyone. You know, you have the Simply Wonderfuls here in Mauritius? Everybody knows that wonderful sweet Simply Wonderfuls? Yes? You know the sweet Simply Wonderfuls? Huh? Yes?
Yes,
okay. So I was handing out the Simply Wonderfuls, and some smart aleck hippie, he thought he'd have a little fun with this Hare Krishna, this humble Hare Krishna. So he walked up to him. I went up to hold him a sweet. He took his hands and he knocked the sweets out in the middle of the street. Can you imagine what an offense that was? So I could have been real humble and say, oh, I'm sorry if I disturbed you by approaching you with this bowl of sweets. I could have been very, very humble. But Krishna gave me the intelligence. This is not the time to be humble, Sankarshan Das Brahmachari. I didn't hit him, but here's what I did. I chastised him so severely, so heavily. I'm not going to duplicate it here because it probably hurt my ears and strained my throat. But I pointed my finger right in his face. And very intensely, with all the energy I could possibly muster, I said, you better get out there and pick up those sweets right now. Like that. I zapped him with a heavy gesture, heavy facial expressions, and in very intense, loud language. I ordered him to get out there and you better get out. I'm not physical. I never hit anybody. I was not a fighter, but the way I talked to him, it sounded like I was going to kill him if he didn't do it. I wouldn't have done that, but it sounded like that. That's the way it sounded. Like, I'm going to kill you dead right now, bud, if you don't pick those sweets up right now. That's how it sounded to him. And he, you know what he did? He flipped out. He went out in the street and picked up all the sweets immediately. It's like he completely changed. The demoniac, smart aleck mentality was completely blown out of his consciousness and he became a humble devotee. He ran out in the street and started picking up all the sweets. It's like a fired up brahmachari, you know? It was amazing. So sometimes we have to be very strong with people. You see, sometimes we have to be strong because people are so caught up in false egotism that if you just be humble, sometimes it just doesn't blow away their false egotism. Sometimes you have to be very strong. Prabhupada is so strong sometimes. Devotees were shocked. There's a famous pastime in Japan when they were doing a Vyas Puja. Prabhupada had never really trained them how to do Vyas Puja yet. So they were trying to do a Vyas Puja for Prabhupada, and everything was wrong. Prabhupada came in, there was no flowers. And Prabhupada says, "Where's the pushpa?" Devotees didn't know what pushpa meant. You know, it's a Hindi word. And so they thought, "Oh, he means pushpana rice." So somebody ran to the kitchen, they started cooking the pushpana rice. I mean, it was a disaster. And there were people there filming the whole thing. And Prabhupada was chastising and yelling. He said, "This is not Vyas Puja, this is a disgrace." And he walked out. He walked out of the Vyas Puja. He boycotted the Vyas Puja. The spiritual master walked out. It was so heavy. Devotees were like completely, practically, completely, totally devastated by Prabhupada's anger. And then they humbly, after that, they went to his house and, you know, in complete humility and begged Prabhupada to please forgive us for our offense and please instruct us how we can properly do Vyas Puja, you see. So sometimes the spiritual master has to be heavy. If he just flatters you, "Oh, you're a very good disciple," patting you on the head, you know, flattering you. If the preacher simply flatters you, then you don't become purified. Sometimes you have to be chastised. You have to understand this. Not that, you know, if my Guru Maharaj ever chastises me, I'll reject him immediately. Then, "Guru Maharaj, I reject you now because you chastised me." You see? Sometimes I've seen foolish disciples, they do that. "If you give me this instruction, I reject you." Sometimes foolish disciples do that because they don't understand what it means to be a disciple. You don't understand what it means to be a disciple. So one has to learn what it means to become a disciple, you see. Lord Chaitanya is showing perfectly well. He says, "You are my Lord, my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. You can handle me roughly by your embrace. You can leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You can do anything and everything you want to with me because I'm your sold-out servant." You see, that's the mood. That's the mood you have to have if you want to actually become purified and go back to Godhead. As long as you have your conditions, "Well, I'll accept your instructions if you meet my criteria," you see, then you're still in the material platform. You're trying to be the spiritual master instead of trying to be the disciple. You see, we have to actually become disciples to go back to Godhead. So let's see, how much time do we have? We're supposed to end by 9, or what? Okay. This is the last question, and then we can make the Bhagavad Gita's available. Okay, an ISKCON devotee, out of a single moment of weakness, commits a sin. Not a major one, condemned by law. As a result, despite immediately atoning and realizing his error, he is constantly criticized by others, ISKCON devotees, and not accepted in the temple by many. But then the faulty devotee continues devotional process in isolation. Please comment. Well, it's very difficult to answer such a thing or to comment on it because I don't know the details. There's so many subtleties. The thing is, such a person should consult we have a very advanced devotee here who is our temple president. You see, Haridev Prabhu. He's a very senior, mature devotee, a very compassionate devotee. This person should approach the temple authority, Haridev Prabhu. And sometimes neophyte devotees will be overly critical. That's not good. If there's any difficulty, you should approach the temple authority and explain the problem and let the temple authority work with the situation, you see. No one should go away from the society of devotees. Sometimes, because we're all neophytes, sometimes we are mistreated. It's a fact. How many of you have never felt mistreated by a devotee? I think we've all sometimes felt mistreated by a devotee. It, because we're neophytes. We're all in a hospital here. We're all getting over our lust, our anger, our greed, our madness, illusion, and envy. It's natural sometimes we may be mistreated by one of the devotees. We may be mistreated. That happens. But Prabhupada said, never leave the society of devotees. He said, never ever leave. He said, even if it is intolerable, you should never leave. Even if you think it's intolerable, you should never leave. He actually said, there's nothing intolerable. But if you think it's intolerable, still you should not leave. Because if we leave this society, we go back out to the material society, well, I'll practice on my own. You're not strong enough to practice on your own. Man is a social animal. We need association. If you give up the society of devotees to do it on your own, after a while, your practice will deteriorate. I guarantee you, it will. So if you want to be qualified to go back to Godhead in this lifetime, stay in the society of devotees, chant your rounds faithfully, follow the principles, read Prabhupada's books, take only prasadam, work nicely with the devotees, develop loving relationships with devotees, and you'll be in good shape. So I'm very, very happy to be with you all here tonight. You're a very wonderful yatra. The Mauritius yatra is very, very wonderful yatra. It's a great pleasure for me to be here. We've been here for 1 week now. My wife back there, Vishnu Priya Devi Dasi, she and I are leaving tomorrow for Pretoria in South Africa. But we plan to come back and get more nectar here in December. We'll be coming back to get more nectar from you all. You are like the flowers and we're like the honeybees, you see. We're coming to get more nectar from the Mauritius devotees. So we'll be coming back in December to get more nectar, get more enlivenment from your transcendental association. So the most important thing is we're all connected with Prabhupada's books. Therefore, I wanted to make these books available. Anybody who doesn't have Bhagavad Gita or would like to get one to give to a friend, what I do is I give a little written blessing also. And anyone who takes a Bhagavad Gita, we have about 15 minutes, and we have about 15 Bhagavad Gitas. So that's one Bhagavad Gita a minute. Anybody who wants a Gita, you get a special. You give me your name, I'll give you a special note to you in the Bhagavad Gita. So we'll stop here, and we thank you very much for your participation in this most wonderful movement of Srila Prabhupada, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.
Is Krishna Das Adhikari Maharaj ki
jai.